Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Kiss 98.5. It's Janet and Nick on this Friday morning as we say go Bills on the phone right now with Sal Capaccio. Good morning, Sal. How are you?
I am great. It is awesome to talk to you. It's been too long, but I'm glad we're doing it under these circumstances.
It's so exciting. All right, so the Bills have a practice yesterday. Everybody looked loose. Everybody looked like they were doing their thing. But how does Rasul Douglas not laugh at Mac Hollins when he's up against him and Mac's got this like fringe shirt underneath half of his jersey? Like, how do you not just like crack up?
I mean, Mac reminds me of like when I was in high school a long time ago and we all had those midriff jerseys, but the only problem was we didn't have the abs that he has. You know what I mean? I definitely wanted those when I still want those abs. Oh my god, like the guy,
it's like a 10 pack.
It's incredible. He's in such great shape, and obviously we know all the story about the shoes and not wearing the shoes. Also, have you seen Mac Hollins, how he does these like self-help videos?
We're obsessed with them. Yes.
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
I now empty my dishwasher bottom shelf first.
Well, I've always done that. That's good. You know the one for me? I saw him yesterday and I said, Mac, thank you so much. Like, he did one the other day about how to roll up the extension cord.
Yeah.
I'm like, I cut my grass and I have a roller that I have to put it on. Because I always did the hand with the elbow thing, but he showed a great trick. So,
what was it?
The guy is—he's been a great addition.
So, Jan, you don't want to do the hand elbow; that will ruin the cord. You do this loopy loop thing, almost like a lasso. He's really good at it. You must have good hands for doing that. Sounds a tough trick.
I try, but at least now I know a little bit better way to do it.
Sal, can you tell me how big of a deal the Earl Greasy Neal Award is for Sean McDermott, best NFL coach?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I think that he has been honored by, you know, people in the industry. I think that's what matters more than anything, right? That, like, when you have, it's one thing to be honored by, you know, writers and people like us who say, okay, well, this guy does a really good job, the AP and all these different awards that, you know, come along. But this is the Maxwell Football Club. And I don't know if you guys know the Maxwell Football Club. I mean, that's like, you know, it's Heisman Trophy. These are people that have been around in football and in the industry. And it's the first time that he's won this. It's something that I'm sure that Sean McDermott is very proud of, but we all know that there's a ultimate goal that's ahead. 36 annual Greasy Neal Awards, and Sean McDermott has won it this year, which is really cool.
Does he still have a million Post-it notes in his office?
I don't know. I don't go to his office very often, to be quite honest with you. I've been there a couple of times to do a couple of interviews with him. He's a pretty buttoned up guy though in his office. I think it's kind of normal from what you expect from most people. You got your accomplishments and you got your pictures, your family, team, friends, you know, things like that. So, you know, he seems like a pretty normal guy in that regard.
On the phone with Sal Capaccio from the Buffalo Bills, you're on the sidelines. When you see Ryan Fitzpatrick, he is not allowed to get the people going unless he's bare chested.
I have a feeling that's going to happen. I mean, come on. He's Ryan Fitzpatrick. He knows. Like, Ryan's got to know the deal, right? He knows.
Yeah. And
he has to lean into it at this point. Like, when he was in Buffalo last time for that game against the Patriots, which will be very similar weather, and him, you know, going crazy in the stands and how, you know, with his shirt off. I mean, that's kind of what made him, you know, go viral. I think that he understands what the task is at hand.
Yeah.
Is this a bigger game than the AFC Championship game, the Battle of the MVPs?
No. The AFC Championship game is bigger, but this game is absolutely huge, obviously, for their season, for everybody's season. The loser of this game goes home. There's no tomorrow. You have to pack and get ready for next year. We're doing exit interviews and things like that. Nobody wants that. If you win, then you go on to the AFC Championship game. And there is still, as Marv Levy would always say, because he loved his war analogies, there's still one more river to cross, you know, after this, if you do it. Right now, there's two rivers to cross. However, I do think this game goes a long way in legacy for Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Sean McDermott, maybe not so much John Harbaugh. He already has a Super Bowl title. So I do think it can be regarded as a bigger game for the legacy of these three men, especially the two quarterbacks, right? I think Sean probably needs to get to a Super Bowl. If he doesn't, you know, you're going to still hear people talk about that a lot, where, you know, the Bills have not been able to do that under him. I don't know if Josh has to get there, but if you keep losing in the divisional round, right, that's part of your legacy. And if Lamar Jackson keeps losing and not getting to a Super Bowl, especially considering some past playoff failures, the way he's played, that's become a part of his legacy. So I do think from that point, it might be.
Two more sleeps till this game. What is the level of excitement versus nerves versus anxiety in and around the facility? What are you sensing? Because you're there all the time. What's different this week?
It's a great question. We asked Dawson Knox about that very same question, and I like his perspective, the way he put it. He said there's a fine line between nervousness and excitement. Nervousness is you're afraid to do something wrong. Excitement is you're ready to go out there and do things right. Right? You know what I mean? And you want, and I think that's a really good way to look at it. And he said, if I'm nervous about this or that, if I'm nervous about the snow, I'm nervous about a play not working, I'm just going to be a wreck all week. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to be myself to prepare. If I'm excited about what we have a chance to accomplish and doing these things the way they're supposed to be done, then I can go out there and play a little bit, you know, looser and freer, or, you know, however, whatever words he used, you get the point. And I really like that perspective. So I think that they generally, as a team, they look, it's been 7 out of 8 years they've been in the playoffs. Most of this group has been here for a large part of that run, not everybody. I think they understand when you get to this point how to prepare throughout the week and how to be ready and not be nervous, but just kind of let the game come to you and do what you're supposed to do.
We know this game is going to be freezing cold. How are the Bills preparing to make sure the team, we've heard the hot cocoa, we've heard the chicken broth, we're going to be dealing with single-digit temperatures, maybe even colder, maybe snow. What are some of the ways that everybody stays warm, or do they just forget about it and just play the game and try not to think about how cold they are?
No, I think for the large part, they play the game. But really, Janet, what it is through the week, I think they make sure that they're, you know, they're doing the right things to keep their body right and, you know, to understand. And I think everybody's different. You know, it might be different for a, 190-pound Cam Lewis or James Cook than it is for a, you know, a Spencer Brown or a Deion Dawkins, you know, what they need to put in their body to make sure that they're operating at peak function. I think that goes for any weather, no matter what. But, you know, they understand. They're probably planning on what layers. And again, that goes towards if you're a wide receiver versus maybe a defensive lineman, you might have to prepare for whatever gear you're going to wear a little bit differently because, you know, you have to move differently in those two positions. Now, when it comes time to the game, it's so funny. You know, yesterday I tweeted out a video of practice and being inside, and I had several Bills fans even say, I can't believe they're practicing inside. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's go over a couple things here. If you practice outside on a frozen field when it's snowing, the only thing that's going to happen is you're not going to get a good practice in, right? I mean, people are going to be slipping. The ball's going to be on the ground. You might as well just do fumble drills all day. The point of practice is to actually get a practice in. It's to actually work on the things you're supposed to work on, and that's why you do it inside. Also, are we really, like, at this point questioning how well this team can perform in the cold? I mean, after what we've seen from Josh Allen and this group, I don't really think it matters where the Buffalo Bills at this stage of who they are and where they practice. They have been very, very good in cold weather, and I don't think it matters to them whatsoever.
How much snow is in Orchard Park at the stadium right now?
Ooh, good question. I am not there right now, but I was there yesterday for a while and then into last night. And I would say there were several inches on the ground. It was blown. It was pretty tough. I had to make the trip. Normally, from the stadium to my house in the city, it takes me about 25 minutes. It took me close to an hour to get home last night.
Wow, it was bad.
Because of the driving, right? And we all know it slowed down. I don't know how much more snow is in the forecast. I don't think a ton. I'm going to be doing my show, the Extra Point Show, on WGR Sports Radio 550 today. Patrick Hammer is going to join us with a weather check at 11:30. He'll give us the snow update, the weather update. It's always good to get that on a Friday. From what I'm seeing and reading, maybe a little more snow this weekend, but maybe not as much during the game, but we'll see.
I see at practice yesterday, and how long have they been doing this at the training center, using crash pads to practice when they're doing their tackles and, like, landing? How long have you been doing that?
Crash pads. Let me see. What are you talking about?
They're like a big blue mat, like you can land on, and you're not on the ground.
Yeah. They do that. That's a mats. Normal warm up drill. It's a normal warm up drill for the linebackers, especially, but the defensive players. There's a lot of rules in the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, about how much you can hit each other during practice, and then even if you could hit at this time of year like that, the Bills aren't. It's been a long season. You're not going to be going live tackling on players, so you go with these bags. And that's how they work on their form. And look, this week is especially important to be able to tackle. You have Derrick Henry coming to town. You have Lamar Jackson coming to town. So whether you're going to tackle Derrick Henry, which I don't envy that task on anyone because he's so big and strong and coming right at you, or Lamar Jackson, which I don't envy because he can make you look foolish as you try to tack him and you just kind of, your arms are flailing in air sometimes because there he goes. It's really important to get those tackling drills in, but that's how they pretty much do their tackling drills every day.
Have you stood next to Derrick Henry in the past?
Ooh, good question. I've probably been pretty close to him. I wouldn't say next to him though. He is a large man, and when you consider the position, when you consider the position he plays, I mean, it's really phenomenal how big he is, but how great of an athlete he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what strikes me about him.
Sale, being on the sidelines at the stadium, because one of the really important things we can do as fans who are going to be at the game is make the noise. When you're down on the field and the Bills Mafia is going crazy to really try to disrupt the offense of the other team. So when we've got the Ravens out on the field, how much of a difference does it make for everybody making as much noise as they can?
It makes a huge difference. I've been in all these stadiums. There's only three NFL stadiums I haven't been to yet, and that's only because COVID that year, we couldn't travel as the radio crew. So I can tell you what it's like in a lot of these stadiums. Now, not every environment in the game is obviously the exact same, but I will tell you, this stadium, it matters more than it does in most stadiums because of how close the fans are. They're right on top of you. The first row of Highmark Stadium compared to a lot of other places, you're closer. Everybody's right there. And obviously we know the environment. We know Bills Mafia. It's like a college atmosphere, as everybody says, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I will tell you, it makes a really big difference from that respect compared to a lot of other places. But also, here's the biggest thing. When the other team is on offense and the Bills are on defense, they are trying to make calls at the line of scrimmage. They're trying to tell everybody, block this guy, block that guy. We're changing the play. And when you are that loud, and it's that loud, and they can't communicate verbally because they can't hear each other, they have to rely on hand signals. And that's when things can start to get a little bit, tougher for them. And then it takes a little longer. The play clock starts running down. You get to 5, 4, 3. Now that gives the defenders, the Bills defenders, a chance to just know, okay, you got to snap the ball. They're ready to go. So all of those little things start to matter.
So when they're in a huddle, is it as important to make the noise or when they're lined up?
When they're lined up, not when they're in the huddle. The huddle is fine. You can make the noise in the huddle, but they'll be okay. They're gonna huddle up and they're going to talk to each other. It's when they break the huddle and when they get up to the line of scrimmage. Think about it. So wide receivers, the guy that catches the passes on the outside, obviously, for people who don't know, they're in the huddle together. They're right next to Lamar Jackson in this case. But when they break the huddle, they're out by the numbers. They're out by the hash marks and outside the numbers.
Yeah, they're
so now
all spread
they have
out.
To actually listen for signals, right? And that's when those hand signals come. Now, look, the challenge is for the Bills defenders too, because that noise affects the Bills defense trying to actually move their guys around. I've talked to a lot of players on defense that said, hey, what's the challenge? And they said, of course it's a challenge. We have to do hand signals, but we like it no other way. We want them to be loud. That's such a great advantage for us.
Yeah, and that's, I think, going to be one of the big things for the game on Sunday against the Ravens. Why is this team different, the Buffalo Bills?
You know, I think going back to training camp and into the season, we were all, kind of told how this team is not going to be relied on. There's no Stephon Diggs, no Gabe Davis, no Mitch Morse, Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and obviously we know Micah's back in the practice squad. But it was a team of a collection of players that were a lot different in his transition and different personalities, different leadership. Sean McDermott chooses and the team chooses Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard as the only two captains on the team. Josh Allen starts to become, there's a lot of talk about him becoming a different and a more vocal or whatever kind of leader, the different kind of leader than he's been in the past. I think that's where this team is different. I think their voices, their leadership, How they go about their business is just different. And look, Stephon Diggs was amazing for this team. There's no doubt. I'm not saying that it's his fault or anything like that. But when you have a personality like that, I do think that it takes over the room a little bit, right? If that makes sense. And I think that they are so comfortable around each other. Nobody's personality takes over the room. And again, I don't want to make it sound negative on any specific person when I say that, because that's just the way the nature of, you know, sports. And when you're in a locker room with 53 people in this case, and you know, when you have certain personalities that just take over a room, it becomes a little bit more about maybe what it isn't supposed to be about at times. And I think this team has kind of kept it in perspective of what it's supposed to be about and who it's supposed to be about.
Is it as fun for everybody on the field as it is for us when they play Mr. Brightside?
Yeah, Nick, I want to know I'm always curious exactly like what your cue is, when to do it. You know, you got to be, you know, when they're tied, when they're winning, how much time is left in the fourth quarter, when they come out on the offensive side. I love the fact that Josh said, we just want to get to the fourth quarter, have a lead, and hear Mr. Brightside playing or whatever he said. That was great. I love that. It is for sure. I will tell you, being on the sidelines, I watch the bench and those guys, like, they get into it. They sing along with it. They know what's happening, but they're also still dialed into the game, but they're definitely understanding, like, this is the vibe. We like the vibe here and we want to keep this rolling. So, and there's a few guys as we've seen on the, on the videos over time, yep. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Matt Collins, whoever it is that really get into it, maybe even a little bit more.
I love that. Thank you for taking the time. Dying with excitement right now for Sunday's game. I can't even talk. I'm so nervous, Sal. It's just like, this year's different. This is going to be it.
Yeah. Are you nervous or excited? Which one is yours on? Which line?
I'm trying to remember every moment of this season because we're going to need to. How about if I say it that way?
I love that. I think we should all like really appreciate what we have here with this team. And obviously, hopefully it lasts a few more weeks.
Go Bills. Sal Capaccio, Kiss 98.5.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.